Blog Talk Radio.
Kevin here?
Kevin's here.
Yay!
Welcome to the Dash Radio Show with your hosts, Don Wright DeBronce and Peter Mingles.
Thanks for tuning in. To follow our every move, here's what to do. First, click follow at the top of our show. Then, hop on over and subscribe to our blog at www.thedashradioshow.com. Text DASH to 37404 for our upcoming mobile experience. And like us on facebook.com/thedashradio. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Dash Radio Show. My name is Don DeBrun. Here is my co-host, Mr. Peter Mingles. Peter.
And I am here, and I think I'm going to have to at least take over a little bit because your reception is kind of weakened, if you will, from wherever you might be.
Oh, that's lousy. Okay, so you take pole position, and I'm going to go ahead and listen to the show.
Okay, so you're okay now, but if you want to say something real quick, and then we'll bring Kevin on, and we're going to go
all
for
right.
Everything here.
Okay, so I just wanted to say that I have brought Mr. Kevin McCarthy, one of my favorite authors and favorite coaches, on board for today. I've been following his work for the past 20 to 25 years. His book, The On Purpose Person, literally changed the way I did my life and did my business. And I am now a student as well in a bunch of his on-purpose stuff. So I highly recommend that everybody that hears this gets at least a copy of the book and gets started. And I'm going to go ahead and let you two do it because I had a family obligation today, so I'm driving through the Ozarks during storms. But I'm here, and good luck and Godspeed.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for everything that you're doing, and drive safe. So whatever you're doing, drive safe. Okay, so our guest today on the Dash is Kevin McCarthy, and if you want to multitask a little bit, if you'd like to kind of read along with us, I guess if you go to kevinwmccarthy.com, so Kevin, and then the W, and then the McCarthy.com, you'll be able to kind of read along with us and maybe even check out some stuff, but don't be pushing the YouTube videos right now because we're going to be talking to the man live and you can always check out the YouTube videos a little bit later on. But Kevin, Dawn is the one who invited you here and she's got this family thing going on, so I don't know as much about you as she knows about you, so I started to do a little bit of research and everything that I saw says, where has this guy been? Like, where in my life? Where has he been? I love the stuff that I've seen so far on YouTube that no one should be pressing on right now, but I love this sort of stuff, and it seems like we're on kindred spirits. So for all those people where being coachable is kind of important, don't go to the website just yet, and don't push any of the YouTube buttons. Listen to us live. You can go there a little bit later on. But Kevin, tell me why, or you know, where have you been? You came out of the woodwork in my life, and I'm like, where has this guy been? So tell us a little bit about the on-purpose stuff.
Sure. Well, I mean, I actually have been at this for 25 years. And long before anybody was talking about purpose, I was really getting very clear about it. It came out of really work that I was doing as a business advisor for clients. And the on-purpose, that was back in the 1980s. And what I kept finding with clients was that we would talk about their business, and actually as a business advisor, straightening out businesses is actually fairly straightforward. There's a lot of mechanical things that are done. There's the science of business and so on and so forth. But what I really found was the bigger challenge was the leader and the people themselves, if you will, that if there was a wholeness there. And I began to explore strategically the aspects of what does it really take to help transform an organization. And what I realized is if you can transform the people, you transform the organization. So I kind of have this double-sided approach, which is one, as a business advisor, I was doing the traditional things that a general management business consultant would do. But then also I had this human side, which you'll tend to find that often rests in the HR side of an organization, or with trainers and people like that, but it doesn't necessarily cross over to the deep, hard strategy of the business. And so I kind of have lived in the integration of this. And I guess, you know, the where I've been is as a business, I've really been a business advisor all these years, and I've done work with client companies. So I haven't, while I've been a professional speaker for 20 years and have been out there, and the on-purpose person and the on-purpose business combined or have distribution of over 300,000 books just in the U.S. And it was so far ahead of its time when it came out in the early 90s that it's now sort of at a point where there's almost a rediscovery that is going on, because a lot of people now are talking about purpose, where way back when I was talking about purpose, and it just was, people didn't have the ears to hear it.
So excellent. So I know you had mentioned that you kind of focused with working with some specific companies. And when you're working with focusing on some of those specific companies, that's why sometimes people like myself might not have ever heard of you before relative to the work that you've done, because you're focusing on purpose with those specific companies. So, for instance, like some people say to me, you know, geez, I've never heard of your stuff before either. This is because I'm busy doing my stuff. We're busy applying the stuff that we teach. So how did you get started with this whole on-purpose thing? There must have been a series of events that happened, or an environment that was such where it helped fine-tune that this is the focus that we need. So where did that whole concept come from?
Well, the proximate cause of the whole on-purpose work was back in the 1989, 1990, I had a client of mine that said to me, we want you to teach strategic planning to real estate brokers. And I have a history in the real estate business as a commercial real estate developer and then a commercial broker as well. At one time, I had a business where back in the mid-'80s, we were doing about $25 million worth of development, which in today's terms would probably be about, you know, maybe $50 million in development. So we were a small operation, but we still had some pretty substantial projects that were ongoing with shopping centers, industrial parks, things like that. And so this client came to me, and they wanted me to teach residential real estate brokers strategic planning. And I basically looked at the process that they were going to take them through, which was something that a Fortune 500 company would do. And while I have an MBA from a top 10 business school, I could appreciate what they were saying, but I also knew that the real estate brokers, particularly residential real estate brokers, would not survive through that process. And so I asked them if I could develop a different process, and they said they were fine with it. So I drew upon a whole lot of my experience and hunger for personal development work, for business. I actually, you know, started off in business when I was in elementary school selling candy on the bus, and I had my brother doing collection. So you know, it was I've been an entrepreneurial type all of my life. Even though I'm 58, I feel like I've actually been in business for 50 years. And the interesting part of it was that this client of mine, whenever I did this presentation, it was the first time I actually did something. I called it the on-purpose business. And it was really making a meaningful connection between your life and your work. And it was really the roots of the whole on-purpose approach that I've since developed. And what I really came to recognize at that point was it was so well received, and people said, do you have a book? Do you have something you can give me more than just, you know, what you've taught? And I said, well, I don't have a book right now, but I began to work on writing The On-Purpose Person, because I knew the place to break into this sort of life-work equation that so many people are struggling with was that I had to go to the personal side first. And so that's where I went with it. A couple years later, I wrote The On-Purpose Person, desktop published it myself, and took it to a quick print place, gave it to 10 friends. Those 10 friends said, I want more copies. And the next thing you know, I had 1,000 copies of this little book sold. And I actually got five or six unsolicited book contracts from publishers that published the book. And all of a sudden, I was in the throes of becoming a published author, something that I didn't really anticipate. I was just sort of, frankly, being very obedient to what I felt was a message that was on my heart and how to get that out. And then the book got picked up by a publisher called NAF Press out of Colorado Springs. In fact, back in 2009, I actually bought the rights back to both the on-purpose person and the on-purpose business person, and have since updated and revised those because they were sort of languishing in their backlist. So that's in a nutshell sort of how it all came about.
And for – now, you said something I just can't let slide, because you said when you started you sold candy – and your brother did collections. I just can't let that slide, because as a sales guy that used to finance his own product, I knew what that meant. But I'll let that. I'm guessing that means probably what I think it meant. So we'll let that slide, because I don't think that you could do that anymore. Like for.
Well, I mean, he was an older brother, and he wasn't that much bigger than I was, but he's just meaner. He's tougher. And so I would, people would say, oh, I don't have any candy, but if you give me some today, I'll pay you tomorrow. It's sort of like, you know, Popeye with Wimpy on. If you give me a burger today, I'll pay you tomorrow. And so it was my first lesson in collections, which frankly, I didn't really learn all that well. But it was one of those things where I would give people candy, and then they would, the next day I'd say, hey, where's my money? And they'd say, I'll have it. And I'd say, well, I'm going to get my brother after you. And the next thing I know, they would find some money.
So you said it.
He was more of a threat than he was a reality.
Yes, I know. You said it. I just couldn't let it slide because
okay.
I knew what that meant. So anyway, well, let's face it. I guess if you're selling stuff, you have to get paid. So a lot of us learn about those types of things as well. So who is there a who of who gravitates towards your message? When I was watching the YouTube videos in preparation for this, I'm like, wow, I love this stuff. I wish I knew about you a long time ago, because I just love this stuff. It's almost like we grew up in parallel universes and everything. You might use a different word here, a different word here, but I'm like, this guy knows his stuff. Who is the target audience of the type of people that really take your message and then hit it out of the park? Or is there? Or does it fit for just about everybody?
Well, you know, nothing fits for everybody. What I do know is that the on-purpose person tends to hit people who are about a minimum of age 25. There are younger readers that have taken aspects of the book and applied it to their lives. But when you get to the real depth of purpose, vision, mission, and values, it takes a certain amount of realizing you're no longer bulletproof, and that life is kind of happening, and that things are tough. And unfortunately, in today's world, I think that's happening to people earlier and earlier. So maybe the need for that is beginning to diminish. But I think somewhere along the line, at about age 25, is when it really begins to kick in. Generally speaking, I find that my audience is married. They're intelligent. In other words, they're often almost always college graduates, certainly high school graduates. They're readers. They have ambition. They are they seek inspiration. They are hungry to learn, and they have many of them are business owners. I often find that my work, if there's a place where it sometimes rubs the wrong way, it can be in corporate, I'm going to call it in corporate America, because it's so grounded in knowing who you are and having an intrinsic sense of worth and value, that in the corporate world, so much worth and value is placed on status and power and income earning and performance. And so it has, and the spiritual dimension is often a scary thing for the corporate world. So even though I've done a lot of work in the corporate world, I finally backed off of. I used to do consulting work for literally CEOs of Fortune 1000 companies. And whenever I started doing this work, I just realized that it was just almost like doing warfare within the companies, because so many people would take such offense.
Well,
they were sometimes
threatened by you opening up the door of personal or self-development, because maybe they might figure out that maybe their best place wasn't working at that corporation anymore. So we're going to we're going to do a little bit of button pushing over here, Kevin. I can tell you that we have a gentleman named Axel that does this much better than I do, and he is not here on this call. He's probably sitting on one of the wheels that Don is probably moving down. So I think I'm supposed to push a button approximately at this time, and I hope that we don't all self-destruct. So I think we'll be back in about 50 seconds as we hear a word from maybe one of our sponsors. Here we go.
Do you run a home-based business? Are you looking under every rock for your next superstar diamond in the rough? Are you looking for leads in all the wrong places? Look no more.
If you're a seasoned entrepreneur, you know you need the right tools in place to run your online business effectively.
If you're brand new at your business and you are looking for top-notch training that will take you and your sales team to the next level,
for email marketing, autoresponders, lead management systems, and more, Network Leads is what you need to prospect, communicate, manage, and support your customers and sales organization.
Just go to networkleads.com/the-radio and register for your free lead management system today.
Okay, I know I got the first commercial down because I'm sitting here pushing the buttons and I see a whole bunch of stuff that would be fun to push, but I won't. And some I think we missed, like the intro to the dash. So we are back here with Kevin McCarthy for all those people that will be listening and that might catch us somewhere in between. You can follow the dash. Don, if you're still here.
You did it. You did a beautiful job. I'm so proud of you.
I pushed the button.
You pushed the button.
And not only that. somewhere or another, there's something that says mid-show. So I think I'm going to push that mid-show button somewhere around mid-show.
Yes.
But while
and
we're
for,
here.
And for everybody, for hey, Kevin, do me a favor and give them a shout-out so they know how to get to you.
Well, to get to me, they can just go to kevinwmccarthy.com, as Peter was saying earlier. That is my personal blog that I do that's designed for leaders. Tuesdays we do the On Purpose Minute, which is on personal leadership, and on Thursdays the On Purpose Business Minute goes out, obviously for business.
Yes, and then we have a Kevin McCarthy page on the-radio.com, and we also have an On Purpose link that you guys can get to everything that is Kevin and On Purpose right through the-radio.com. So if you don't find Kevin W. McCarthy and you can't remember Kevin W. or Kevin M., or you just get on over to the-radio and you can find him there.
Excellent.
And I'm going to shut up now because I know I'm going to hit a bad reception zone.
There we go. And we, just for those people that are listening in, we're just introducing our mobile app on your Android systems, and our mobile app on the Apple systems will be available as soon as the Apple people say it's okay. So if you are an Android user, you might even be able to go there and find it right now. Type in the Dash or something like the Dash Radio, and you'll see it on your Android app store. And your Apple guys will be coming up whenever Apple decides that they have time to be able to say it's okay. And if you want to text us and become part of our text broadcast, do a short code 37404, type in Dash, D-A-S-H, and you'll be able to get on our newsletter bulletin on your texting, and we'll be able to take it from there. Okay, so as I'm watching some of the YouTube videos relative to you, Kevin, I'm saying to myself, this is great, fundamental, how it works training. And if people would focus on this type of stuff on a regular basis, you may not be able to guarantee any level of success because there's always some variables involved. But, boy, you can really increase your level of success by staying on topic with a lot of the stuff that you teach. So I'll let you talk about whatever you want to talk about next, but where did you come across this? I know you said you were involved in real estate and you probably had to adjust and blend some of the training to the economic times. So talk to us about the level and type of training that you provide.
Well, rather than necessarily talk about the level and training, what I'd love to do is really focus in on, you know, how to help the listener Because at the end of the day, what I basically discovered is there's a great deal of confusion out there. How I got to it and all of that is, it's good backstory. But at the end of the day, I think somebody's tuning in because they really want to get kind of a takeaway for them. And what I want to do is basically share with you that I view myself as a business and life designer, that I work with people. They give me what they have. Much like if you looked at a decorator, maybe that they say, well, here, I own this chest of drawers, and I have this rug, and I have this chair. And what I'm able to do is rearrange what they already have and who they already are in such a way that it just looks and works better. For years, I really resist the word coach because I tend to think of it's just a word that just, I've always been a business advisor, so I generally tend to see myself as an advisor designer. But that said, here's the dirty little secret in strategy. Because at the end of the day, you have a choice. You can either do business or do your life by trial and error, which seems to be the predominant methodology, or you can do it by design. And obviously, I'm an advocate of doing your life by design. And the challenge is that the words of strategy are very confused. So if the words of strategy are confused, you can imagine that the strategy is going to be confused. Now, what do I mean by the words of strategy? The words of strategy that people hear over and over again, almost to the point where they're numb to the words or they ignore the words, are purpose, vision, mission, and values. And if somebody is listening via their computer, not in their car like Don is, but if they'll just bear with me, if they will just place their hands over their heart and realize that this is who they are. This is, whenever somebody says, who are you? And you point to yourself, you tend to go and you point to your heart because that's where we live. That's where we are. So purpose is really answering this, helping, purpose is your mission and values are helping to identify who we are to give us that context. And I'm going to keep this right now on the personal side rather than the business side, because that's, again, the place where you break in. So our identity has answers to these questions. Why am I here? Where am I going? How will I get there? And what's important? And so purpose is a matter of the heart. So if you touch your heart, you sort of, touch your chest where your heart is, and it's really answering this question, why am I here? And if somebody doesn't have a profound sense of why they're here, or even just a very light sense of a reason to get up in the morning, then their world is disoriented, out of whack, stressed out. In many ways, I'm going to say the glass is half empty instead of half full. They're struggling and they're challenged. Then if you go and you put your hands on your head, and you think of that as the place where your vision is. So your vision is in your mind's eye. It's what you see, what you imagine, what your dreams are. It's the pictures you paint in your mind of where can I be? Where could my life be? It's almost like today you're living in the real world. Tomorrow that's the ideal world that you would like to be able to create, but you don't know how to cross the chasm to get to that ideal world. Then you come back to the next thing, which is missions. And missions are your hands and your feet. So if you sort of wave your hands and stomp your feet, those are your missions. Those are the things that you're doing. And so that's the activity. And so many of us define ourselves as what we do instead of who we are. And so as a result, if you ask somebody, in essence, who are you? And they give you their name, and then they say, what do you do? They're trying to identify who you are. So you say, I'm a radio host, I'm an author, I'm a lawyer, I'm a banker, I'm a whatever it is. And so we tend to identify ourselves by our work, which is relevant, but not what's essential. And then your values, if you put your hand on your throat and your other hand over your belly button, your values are represented by your throat and your gut. Because if you violate your values are what's really important. So if you violate your values, you feel it in your throat or in your gut, where you say things like, my stomach is turning over that, or I have a gag response to what they're asking me to do. Your body is working with you. And whenever the words purpose, vision, mission, and values are understood, where purpose is your being, vision is what you're seeing, missions are what you're doing, and values are how you're choosing, now when you begin to articulate those, there's a specific order to them, so that when your heart, your head, and your hands are aligned, you're on your purpose. And that's within your values, within your throat and your gut. So it's a very high standard, but it's an extraordinarily effective standard. And what I tend to find is people throw around the words purpose, vision, mission, and values very willy-nilly, and as a result, their lives are willy-nilly as opposed to being razor sharp. The truth is, most people are not willing to put the work into articulating that. So what I've tried to do is to create the means and methods to make it fun, easy, and to get on the road, because this is not about perfection, getting it perfectly. This is about moving on once you have articulated your purpose, vision, mission, and values. So that's the piece that if there's one thing I'd love for them to get is to look at the words purpose, vision, mission, and values very differently than they've ever looked at them before. This is going to challenge and rattle some people thinking, hey, Peter, it might even rattle yours for all I know, but these words, if not understood clearly, put us at a very strategic disadvantage.
So I know that you say them quickly, and I can't write or type that fast. So what four are they again?
Purpose, vision, mission, and values.
Purpose, vision, mission.
Mission and values. Just think of the heart as the purpose. I actually have this little guy. Here's a way to do it. On your piece of paper, draw a big heart and then write in there purpose. Then draw a head and write vision. Then draw little hands and feet. Okay? Those are the missions. And then inside that heart, draw like an oval that represents where the stomach would be, kind of at the bottom of that the V of the heart. That's there. And then draw a little circle between the head and the heart, and that's the throat. And the values are in the throat and in the gut.
Excellent. We're going to take a commercial break in just a second. But when we come back, and I don't know if this is part of what you'd like to talk about, but could you give us some examples of maybe people or scenarios where what you just taught us is being followed, and maybe some examples of people or things where it may have fallen off track. So if that's
sure.
Okay for you, I'm going to see if we can push some buttons over here, and we'll be right back.
Savage Smokes is a new site on the scene dedicated to the trending electronic cigarette industry. If you are looking into e-cigs as an alternative to tobacco and have been disappointed by the ones you picked up at the gas station, or you kept your money in your pocket because you didn't know which one to buy, head to SavageSmokes.com for honest and up-to-date electronic cigarette reviews on most e-cigs you see on the shelves.
You've been listening to The Dash Radio Show with hosts Don Wright DeBronce and Peter Mingles.
Thanks for tuning in. To follow our every move, here's what to do. First, click follow at the top of our show. Then, hop on over and subscribe to our blog at www.thedashradioshow.com. Text DASH to 37404 for our upcoming mobile experience. And like us on facebook.com/thedashradio. And now, back to the show.
Okay, we are coming back with Kevin McCarthy. The On Purpose is the project that we're talking about right now. We're going to give you access to his links and information that we have, but I'm really intrigued with maybe our next topic because I can see things better and I could understand things better sometimes when I see some living, breathing examples. So, Kevin, are there any examples, positive and maybe some that might have been off track, that maybe you use or are current events or something like that where we can put some of the things that you're mentioning in practice?
Well, I'll give you a real historic example of this, which is a context that maybe is helpful that I haven't used this in a lot of years. So it was kind of interesting on the break whenever I was thinking about it. we're going to go back to 1961, I believe it was, when President Kennedy said to the United States, because of the Cold War that was going on, he said, by the end of this decade, the United States will put a man on the moon and will return him safely. And what he gave at that time was putting a man on the moon was a great vision. Okay? The mission was the Gemini program that actually, I think it was the Gemini program, that went up and put Neil Armstrong on the moon. And then the return him safely. A lot of people forget about that, but he said, we're going to put a man on the moon and return him safely. What he expressed at that point was in many ways what I'm going to call the sanctity of life, that looked at it and said, it's not enough just to get a man on the moon. We have to have the technology to put him there and bring him back because we value life so much that just conquering the moon isn't enough. Now, the purpose underneath that is actually one that if you go back to the U.S. Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and I believe that one of the things that I didn't really explain is that I use two-word purpose statements. So I would go back to Declaration of Independence and say that what was really going on here was the pursuing peace. That this was that if you look at the United States and say basically, I think that the reason that this country exists is about the pursuit of peace. A lot of people say the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. But if I was to sort of wrap all life, liberty, and happiness into one thing, it might be the pursuit of peace. And so in an odd way, by showing technological superiority, the ability to put a man on the moon, it sent a message around the world, particularly to, at the time, our Russian enemies, if you will, in the Cold War, that if we can do that, we can do anything to you. And so it's that was a really historic example on a nationwide scale of what's going on. Now, if we break it down to an individual level, again, because I use two-word purpose statements, they have a generic beginning that says, I exist to serve by. And it's a little misleading because it looks like it's an outward-directed statement. Service would normally be something you do for others. But in fact, there's an aspect to it that this is something, again, the spiritual dimension of this, regardless of where somebody's coming from, whether you want to call it God, a higher power, the universe, whatever it may be, that there is this relationship of God, self, and others. And first, if you have a two-word purpose statement, it's, I exist to serve by, and then here's some examples, awakening worth, liberating greatness, igniting joy. Those are three people's examples of personal purpose statement. The gentleman whose purpose statement, the first time I saw liberating greatness, was a man who was in his 60s at the time. He may have been in his late 60s, early 70s, now that I think about it. He was diagnosed as a young boy as being mentally retarded. He was placed into special classes, and then when he was about 12 years old, one of his teachers said, this child is not developmentally slow. This kid is brilliant. What had happened is his brain developed slowly, so he was there. But actually, when it came to maturity, he was a brilliant guy. He went on and got mainstream. He went on and graduated at the top of his high school class. He went on to get an engineering degree at the top of his class. He went on and got a law degree. He was at the top of his class. He became a lawyer, a patent lawyer, worked for the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for 7 years, where he was 5 years in a row the employee of the year. But he always saw himself as mentally retarded. And he worked extraordinarily hard, always afraid of being discovered because the mark was there on him. So he began to drink. He drank and drank and drank. Long story short, he got involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. He got his life cleaned up. He was sober. At the time I saw him, he had been sober for 20, 25 years. He came to an on-purpose 3-day program that I did. And he sat down with me as only a legal mind could do. He had a brief written about, this is my purpose statement, and he had this legal brief written. And he hands me a page and a half, and I said, you know, Hal, it's too long. Take it down to a paragraph. And he said, I can't do that. And I said, go away and come back with a paragraph. And he comes back with a paragraph, and then he comes, I said, too long, give me a sentence. And he comes back with a sentence. And in that sentence, I was able to see these sorts of things, and the words came out of my mouth, Hal, I think your purpose is liberating greatness. And he had this, like, I call it the breath. He had the breath where it was like, oh my gosh, that's been my life. And it's been his journey of being not in greatness, but being having his greatness liberated. And then in turn, receiving that, getting healthy and whole, and then giving that to others. So a purpose statement has the sense of first you receive it, then you unwrap it, you live with it, you become it. Then just by the nature of who you are, it spills out and you do it for others. You can't not give it because you are so in possession of it. And unfortunately, a lot of times we want to give. It's like we read a book and we're a third of the way through it and we tell somebody, hey, you need to read this book. And we haven't even finished the book, but we're already recommending it. And in many cases, we don't finish the book, but now we're an advocate. We're telling everybody else they need to read the book, but we've never really finished it ourselves. And that is unfortunately the trend that a lot of us do in our own lives. We never really unwrap the gift that we have. In Hal's case, he eventually left the practice of law. He began to do work in the area of brain dominance, and he began to just liberate greatness in people's lives. And I could go on and tell you the story of Hal. His name is Hal Williamson. Hal died a few years ago. And there, he actually has a website called liberatinggreatness.com. And there you can actually download his story. So I'm just giving you a synopsis of his story that he's written up in the first chapter, which is Hal's story. And again, that's liberatinggreatness.com.
Liberatinggreatness.com.
Yeah. So there's a guy who literally took his purpose statement, ended up, in this case, afterwards, writing a book about it. And,
wow.
And continued on with it. I have a number of people who've written. I've got a woman right now whose purpose statement is Awakening Worth, and she's writing a book that will probably be called Awakening Worth.
Those are great stories. How about maybe some examples of where maybe those four things aren't in line? You know, whether it's athletics are usually someplace you can find a story, politics perhaps, business owners, something like that. Any examples of maybe where somebody might be a little bit off track, where if they follow the principles that you're teaching us now, we might be, you know, maybe there's a different ending.
Well, remember that, you don't know, but purpose is just the beginning. I have a whole system behind it. So it's one thing to have your purpose. It's another thing. Basically, I can give you an example of a company that was out in California that I was doing work with. They were a 50-year-old company. For the last 10 years, it was run by three brothers, and they had inherited the business from their parents, and they had set up an ESOP, so the employees now had an ownership position. And these three brothers were running the company, and the employee group came around them and said, look, you're doing you're good people, but you're doing a so-so job of running this business. We're not making any money. Our stock isn't worth anything. You know, you got to get it together. And for 10 years, their revenues were flat. They were doing about $17 million a year in revenues. I came in and worked with them, and we did a purpose, vision, mission, and value statement. We did some training with their people on a program we have called Top Performer. Top stands for the On Purpose Performer. Did some individual work with people that were there. They had about 180 employees. And within 9 months, I was talking with them. I was back out in California on some other business, and I went to go visit with them. And what I discovered was that in that period of time, they'd gone from 10 years of zero to no revenue to making $2 million just because of the combination of knowing who they were, where they wanted to go, how they wanted to get there, what was important along the way. To their credit, they did the work. I just did the design. A year later, their sales were at $24 million. I'm sorry, a year after. So what would now be about 2 years afterwards, their sales had grown from $17 million, they've been flat, to $24 million, and their profits were like $3.5 to $4 million. They were now building a new building, they were employing new people, and they were off and running to the races. So that's a very real pragmatic example of what happens when you're off purpose is business is kind of flat. Life can be very flat. When you get on purpose, the alignment of knowing who you are, where you want to go, how you want to get there, what's important along the way, when those strategies are clear and well articulated and understood, then you can just, it's like a rocket ship. It just sort of accelerates forward. And I can't guarantee it, obviously, because there's so many variables. But I normally say with people, if you do this, you're going to probably see a 25% or more increase in your sales and profits in the business world. Interestingly, a lot of people will lay out the materials, and then somebody will sabotage it inside the company. So that's the problem. That's the part I can't manage the sabotage that occurs inside companies.
Right, and for any business owner that's out there, an extra 25% isn't just an extra 25%. That's probably the difference between profit and not profit, like making it or not making it, and that's huge. So
it's huge, and the other part of it is it's sustainable. So it's not just 25% one time. It's year in and year out, assuming you continue to renew and stay on purpose.
That's right. Now, we have a few minutes before our next commercial break. Can you talk to us a little bit about the challenges that I think are way different for us right now in 2012 and 2013 and probably even carried over to 2014 that weren't really the same issues that we might have been having maybe when real estate was booming or when there weren't so many other challenges facing business owners? And I'll just use as an example. I still do a lot of shopping for myself, and I was at Walmart recently, and I was buying paper towels. And the Walmart pricing on paper towels went from $3.26 to $3.76 in a weekend, because paper towels is something I buy constantly for my house. So there was a 50-cent whack right there. And then, you know, I don't travel a lot anymore, and I went to the gas station. I'm like, well, where have I been? Because we went from like 330s to 380s in like just a matter of a couple of weeks. There are obviously some stresses and some strains, I would think, that many people are dealing with. And let's talk about the stresses and the strains that might be happening relative to the challenges that most people face on a regular basis and how maybe the stuff that you're working on can help them with maybe where they are, pick up those extra raises, dollars, business building skills, whatever it might be. And I probably talked my way straight into the commercial break, so I'd like to hear the rest of this on the other side. Let me figure out where the button is that I'm supposed to push next. And this is going to be our favorite tax guy, Bob the Tax Man, if I get it right. So, Bob, if I don't, I'm scrolling up and down. They give me a whole bunch of stuff. So here we go.
Are you in a rut about your taxes? No more with this simple template. Your business deserves the best, and so do you. Try our simple bookkeeping formula. You'll look organized, find your receipts, and you might even get a write-off. One thing is for sure, you'll thank us. Visit bit.ly/the-taxes. That's bit.ly/DASH taxes.
You've been listening to The Dash Radio Show with hosts Don Wright DeBronce and Peter Mingles.
Thanks for tuning in. To follow our every move, here's what to do. First, click follow at the top of our show. Then, hop on over and subscribe to our blog at www.thedashradioshow.com. Text DASH to 37404 for our upcoming mobile experience. And like us on facebook.com/thedashradio. And now, back to the show.
Okay, so we're wrapping this up with Kevin W. McCarthy. If you go to the domain name with the same name, www.kevinwmccarthy, M-C, capital C, although you don't need caps in domain names, ARTHY.com. You're going to find some of his work and some of the YouTube clips and really great information. So, Kevin, we kind of ended the last segment with the little thing about me saying, hey, are things different in this economy, and what could people do to maybe make a difference applying the principles that you teach? So I'll let you roll for the next 10 or 15 minutes on that topic.
Okay, well, I don't know that I'll go for 10 or 15, but anyway, basically I think what's happening, Peter, is that the challenges in the economy right now are actually a blessing in disguise, because what it's doing is, I know a lot of people are hanging by a thread. Frankly, our families are different. I mean, I've seen my business go down somewhat because of some decisions I made about reorienting my business away from the business advisory work more towards the individual work. And it's just, you know, when you're, it's one thing to sell a, it takes about the same amount of effort to sell a 5 or 6 figure consulting contract sometimes as it does to sell somebody into a $200 6 week program. I mean, it blows my mind. But anyway.
Now there's a little nugget there. So if you don't mind, just kind of expand on that little nugget you just gave us, because there's some people that are obviously building network marketing businesses and maybe home-based businesses, and they'll spend just as much time selling a $10 product as they might selling a $1,000 product. So you said it. I just want to kind of emphasize that one more time, because anybody who's been in sales sometimes realize it kind of takes the same amount of time. So I'll let you expand on what you just said.
Well, it does. I mean, you have to, if you're going to do a good job, you have to think it through. The difference is it's a different sale. Whenever I'm doing consulting work or selling my advisory services, you're generally working with a company, a leader, and there's a tremendous amount of research that goes into that, understanding their needs, presenting a proposal, and then delivering on that proposal. The same thing is true in, like, I have this program called the On Purpose Leader Experience, which is a 6 week program where we actually take people through the articulation of, you know, really articulating purpose, vision, mission, and values, why they're here, where they want to go, how they want to get there, and what's important along the way. And we charge $197 for the program for that 6 weeks, and it's done over the web. We have interactivity on websites and on webcasts and so on and so forth. And it's amazing. What I have to do there is the amount of work we have to put into doing the marketing, building the list, signing people up, getting them into the program. The amount of work that's involved is just tremendous, because if I was selling a $10,000 program, it would probably be the same amount of work by and large. It's just that the market that I'm targeting is individuals as opposed to corporations. So again, you choose, you pick and choose where you're going to focus in. But going back to the original question, which is, you know, what's different about 2013 now, is that we're realizing that life is, I think, more and more that as the comforts are being stripped away, they are also revealing maybe the places where we have never explored in our lives, and we start to look at it and say, gee, why was I working that job for 10 years that I really didn't enjoy? What is it I really feel like I'm called to be about, and how am I to live that out? So that a lot of this time where we've avoided introspection, we're now coming into a place where introspection is essential. Because the nature of it is it's such a competitive world that you can no longer just kind of skate along. And what you have to do is you have to be razor sharp. And the only way to be razor sharp is to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, then it's going to be reflected in the quality of your work, the integrity of who you are. You're going to send off a vibe that people are going to get, that they're saying, well, this guy doesn't really care about what he's saying. This person doesn't really believe in their product. So what I call is we're headed into the age of purpose and meaning. And the age of purpose and meaning is one where if you don't know who you are, you lose your strategic advantage. whether it's to enjoy life, to have the joy of life, or to have the kind of work that is meaningful and engaging and makes a difference.
And if I could kind of add on what you're referencing here, it sounds as for the last decade or so, a lot of people were able to get comfortable. They had a consistent job, maybe they had some security, the stock market was wherever it was, and people had a chance to maybe relax, sharpen their skills far less frequently, if any at all. And what you're referencing is the hidden blessing is because a lot of people are coming to the realization of, well, wait a minute, some of my friends lost their job. Wait a minute. They're talking about this government sequestering thing that's happening just now, where if you think about it, they're saying if this doesn't go through, 800,000 federal employees that work in the private sector are going to be working 4 days instead of 5 days a week, as if that's not a big deal. So there's a huge shockwave, I think, of even the possibility that somebody that is making a comfortable living that might now be making, you know, 4 days out of 5 days pay, that now they have to come to the realization of, wait a minute, maybe I need to do a little bit of serious thought. And I think that's where you say maybe the mixed blessing.
It is, and particularly with direct sellers. I mean, this is where the direct sales companies really have an advantage because people can actually work part-time. People can have a plan B, and as a direct seller, they can begin to build an income outside of their job that maybe they really don't love that much, or even if they do love their job but it's at risk, they're now in a place where they have the opportunity to say, well, find a company that you love, that's meaningful to you, and then that where you feel like you can earn and make a difference and where your music is going to come out. And whenever they have that, then they're likely to be successful in that. So they have a plan B because you never know when plan B has to become plan A.
So a lot of people, I think, if you're in direct sales or direct sales management or network marketing or building something where you're looking for some pretty talented people, I think I heard what you said is there's going to be a lot more people that are really looking to supplement their income.
I would think there are, and a lot of people might be having to replace incomes.
Excellent. Okay.
Unfortunately, what I tend to find is there's a lot of people who think that their security is in a job, and jobs are fleeting, and it's hard for them to get out of the mindset of being taken care of by the company or the government.
So there's a natural tendency, I think, for humans to want to be comfortable, to play it safe, because I think that's what we all really would like, but in a realistic way, there's no such thing as security. I heard you say security is going to come from the individual, not necessarily the employment. So talk to us a little bit about how we take your thought process and then make ourselves more secure when we're sharpening our skills. So wrap this up. Give us an idea of where we can find your stuff, how we can apply it, and I know that Dawn's going to want to have you back on this call sometime in the future, where she's going to be close to a phone where she'll be able to actually ask you a whole bunch of questions as well. So give us the guideline of, okay, Peter, you know, where can people go to find out more about the things that you do?
Well, first of all, I know that you have information on your website about this, and I would always encourage people to go to the website at the Dash, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. If they want to subscribe for free to my On Purpose Minutes, it's just kevinwmccarthy.com. They can go there and they can learn all things On Purpose. There's also onpurpose.com. It's kind of our gateway site that also leads to our business advisory firm, the books, you know, all that information. But again, there's a link that's available at thedash.com, and I go to there. The aspect of kind of the direct sales side of things in terms of what's happening and why. I have a basic belief that being in business is a good thing. I often teach that if you want to know who you are, there's several things you can do to really get to know who you are. One is get married. It will suddenly it says, as iron sharpens iron, as a man sharpens another man. So you're going to find out that getting married is one of those joyful experiences, but it's also going to work the rough edges off. Then have children. That will help you discover who you are. Face a life-threatening illness, which hopefully you don't have to do. And the other one is start a business. Now, starting a business is voluntary, much as getting married and children. Illness is not voluntary, but starting a business is something voluntary. What it does when you're in business is it is going to push every single button on you that is going to come up that's negative, that's going to sort of hold you back, not just in business, but in life. So if you're afraid to go talk to your neighbor or somebody you know about a product or service that you have, that has nothing to do with the quality, that has, assuming you've got a good product or service, that has nothing to do with the product or service. That is all about the fact that you're afraid, you're running scared, you're afraid of what they're going to think of you. It's all that is within you. What's happening is at some level you're so over-focused on what others are thinking because your identity is wrapped in their point of view, as opposed to having your identity being very strong within you to where you're literally able to say to them, look, this is what I have to offer. It can make a tremendous difference for your life. If you don't understand how good it is, then forgive me for not explaining it correctly. Or if I've explained it well and you've come to the point where you've made a decision that says thank you or no thank you, then I can live with that. But I think what breaks most of our hearts is we have something that we feel can make a tremendous difference for people's lives, but we walk away from actually pressing the issue because we're afraid to offend, afraid to be pushy, we're afraid to, there's all sorts of fears and trepidations that come up. And as a result, the business, by being in the business, is going to push that against you. And I promise you, if that's what you're afraid of in your business, then in your relationships, you're probably facing the same thing. That if your husband or wife turns to you and says something ugly, that you don't stand up and defend yourself because your identity is wrapped up in, oh my gosh, will they love me or not? And so business is going to push on these dynamics. And whenever we're able to overcome it in the business world, we're really, it doesn't matter compared to life. When we learn to overcome it there, we then grow a strength and an inner confidence that also then translates into the life piece. And therefore, we're a much better, what I call an on-purpose person, because we're not driven by our purpose. We are called by our purpose, and we are integrating our lives with our purpose, and we are bringing it forth rather than, and our identity is coming forth from that, rather than our identity coming from whether somebody's going to say, yeah, I'll buy your product, or yes, I'll sign up and work with you.
And for now, I think it's easier for people to start a semblance of a business with home-based businesses and the internet than it's ever been before. Prior to this, let's face it, if you said start a business, you have to figure out what kind of a product you're going to manufacture, how you're going to deal with all the regulations, all of that sort of stuff. You're going to do it the right way, the wrong way. You have to figure out how to go to a merchant account, how you're going to be able to move the money back and forth, the accounting. Nowadays, Kevin, with people being associated with home-based businesses like network marketing companies and affiliate programs and things like that, it's more available for just about anybody else to really get their feet wet and learn a lot of the same lessons, maybe not the same way of running a traditional business, but certainly they could do that as well. Well, we have about 30 seconds left. Why don't you give them your contact information one more time? I know they can always go to the-radio.com. They can visit us all the time as well, but we don't care where you go. Just make sure you plug into this information and focus on this on-purpose business. So I'll let you start to wrap it up. You got about 30 seconds. I'm going to run our last commercial.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a quote from Henry Ford that said, this was written in 1926. He said, now the fact is that a generation ago there were 1,000 men for every opportunity, while today there are 1,000 opportunities for every man. Affairs in this country have changed that much. That was 1926. Today there are 100,000 opportunities for every person. So you got to know who you are in terms of which one's going there, which one's most important for you. And so to get in touch with me, just go to kevinwmccarthy.com. Our phone number is 407 657-6000. Again, that's 407-657-6000.
Perfect.
Or
well, thank
go to
you very
onpurpose.com.
Much. Yep. Well, thank you very much, and we're going to catch you guys next time. Thanks for being here. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Peter and Don.
Thanks for listening to the show. At The Dash, we know that your time is precious, and your choosing to spend it with us means a lot.
To get reminders for our live shows that happen every Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, click follow on the top of any show.
Also, subscribe to our blog for articles, inspirations, and great products and services for your ever-growing business at thedashradio.com.
For upcoming mobile experience, text DASH to 37404, and don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thedashradio.
Again, thanks for spending some of your Dash with us. We look forward to talking with you again soon.